I mean, this one's not necessarily a surprise, but I mean, we really haven't seen too many teams with a ceiling like Clemson in a very, very long time. Clemson's season win total 11.5 this year. Season win total bets do not count conference championship games, bowl games, or, you know, the college football playoffs. So the 12-game regular season schedule, Clemson expected to run the table. And as I ran my numbers with my personal power ratings here, I don't see Clemson any smaller than a 16-point favorite among those 12 games. So this is almost unheard of. This is Alabama-esque, but even to a greater extreme, where it looks like Clemson going to walk through the regular season, going to play the ACC championship game, be a substantial favorite there, and probably get right back into the college football playoff.
I want to take a look at your power rankings as well. So you had your July 2019 edition of the college football power rankings. Go ahead and explain the top four that you have in there, because the fourth team I saw on that list surprised me just a little bit.
Yeah, so basically what my process is I have a scale of about 40 to 100, where quarterbacks, offensive and defensive lines, and coaching are worth up to 15 points each, running backs, wide receivers, linebackers, defensive backs, up to 10 points each. That's how you get 100 points. Then I sort of grade those position groups out where, you know, the best one in the conference may be 15, maybe 14.5 for offensive and defensive lines, and kind of go on down from there, sort of ranking them in their relative strength with regards to the rest of the conference. So my top three, not really a big surprise, Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. Number four on my list is Ohio State, and they are tied there with that team up north that none of us want to speak of. For me, it's one of those things where, you know, right now the line for the game is the Wolverines -3, so they would be a favorite at home there in the Big House. Right now my line would be Wolverines -4. But for Ohio State, I mean, look, one of the big components of power ratings and trying to rank these teams is talent. And when you look at, you know, Ohio State's recruiting over the last 3 or 4 years, very few teams, if any, have done it better. Maybe Clemson, maybe Alabama, maybe Florida State to a degree as well. But for the most part, you know, it's been Ohio State. So you have to respect that talent level, even though there definitely are some questions with the new head coach and Ryan Day, and obviously the biggest question mark, new starting quarterback Justin Fields.
You've got them right there with Michigan and Oklahoma, not all that far behind. Oklahoma is always an interesting study to me because this year, of course, they've got Jalen Hurts behind center, and you kind of wonder, are they going to get the same kind of productivity they've gotten the last couple of years as well? Where do the Sooners fit into all this?
Yeah, you know, that's the hard part is, and I had a real problem with teams like Florida State and some of the other teams that are kind of down the board a little bit. You have to respect talent, but at the same time, you kind of have to question fit. And Jalen Hurts is not Kyler Murray. You know, Jalen Hurts is not Baker Mayfield. I don't know exactly what the dynamic is going to be there in Norman with him. Now, Oklahoma has had some losses on defense. I think Alex Grinch is a phenomenal hire, though, as their defensive coordinator. So I have to give them respect. You know, they're the sixth-ranked team in my power ratings, you know, right behind Ohio State and Michigan, as you mentioned. And, you know, look, I mean, when you talk about the Big 12 and you talk about offense, few people do it better than Lincoln Riley. And I have to think that he'll have the right game plan for Jalen Hurts week in and week out. Some of the other teams in the Big 12 have gotten better. Baylor's taken a big jump. Iowa State's taken a big jump for me as well. And obviously a lot of people talking about Tom Herman's Texas Longhorns. So I'm trying to be optimistically high on Oklahoma. I do wonder, though, if a few weeks into the season, they kind of creep back down to the rest of the conference a little bit.
I've got to ask you one more question on this before we turn our attention to baseball. Love me, the Michigan State Spartans. But every year it seems like when they are hyped, they don't always do as well. When they're not hyped, they end up doing much better than expected. You've got them ninth in your July power rankings. And, man, there's a lot of hype surrounding this team this year. I'm not sure if that should make me a little bit nervous or if I should be happy about that, but you've got them ninth. Why is that?
Yeah, I do have them really high up there. The schedule is a little bit prohibitive for them in the sense that their season win total is only 8 out there because they've got tough games against the Big Ten West, obviously playing the Big Three there in the Big Ten East. But, you know, Brian Lewerke was hurt most of the year. 2 years ago, he was very effective as a starting quarterback when he wasn't hurt. Michigan State's kind of getting that defense back on track a little bit here as well. And also, there's kind of a groupthink mentality when you talk about power ratings. The teams that are getting a lot of buzz for a lot of the people that I respect out there are getting a lot of buzz from the odds makers as well. And with the power ratings, your goal is to create your own spreads for the lines in hopes of getting out in front of the line movement early on in the week. So while I think Michigan State may struggle to be a top 10 caliber team, a lot of other people out there in the industry do have them, you know, borderline top 10, certainly top 15. So I have to respect that. Otherwise, I'm too far off from the marketplace. So we'll see how quickly we all adjust Michigan State up or down here. Probably wouldn't be up. It would only be down. But with a healthy Lewerke and an improving defense there for Mark D'Antonio, you know, this is a team that's a very, very dangerous team and could very well pick off a couple of those upsets in conference play.
Adam, what about UCF? Is there a chance they could run the regular season table again?
UCF is, I mean, again, they're a very interesting team. The big question I have for UCF here this year is what happens at quarterback without Mackenzie Milton? You know, and this was a guy that did a lot for them last season, certainly was, you know, one of the best underclassmen quarterbacks in the country 2 years ago. He's out for the entire year this year. So they get Brandon Wimbush, the Notre Dame transfer. Not exactly sure how he's going to fit there with Josh Heupel's team. Darrell Mack was very good last year when he had to replace Milton. That's the question. You know, you've got a lot of ingredients here with UCF, but you need the chef to put them all together. I don't know if they have that guy in Milton's absence, but for right now, they are still the class of the American Athletic Conference.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll transition onto the diamond now, my man. You've had a red-hot month of July. Hopefully that will continue tonight. You've picked out a few games for this evening. Minnesota taking on the Oakland A's. You like Minnesota tonight. Why is that?
I do. Unfortunately, I like the Twins tonight for a few different reasons. And, you know, obviously all of us rooting against the Twins here. Although, you know, hey, it's kind of a win-win situation with Oakland there in town. Sort of helps us from a wild card standpoint as well. But, you know, Jake Odorizzi's been dominant against right-handed batters so far this season. They're only batting 145 with a 231 on base, 257 slugging percentage, 219 weighted on base average. And Oakland comes into town with a lot of right-handed batters. They do have some lefties, but outside of Matt Olson, they're not their most productive hitters. So Odorizzi's got a very, very good matchup on paper here tonight. And Chris Bassett, the starter for Oakland, he has a very thin margin for error. He's got about a strikeout per inning, which is pretty solid. He's never been a really big strikeout guy. But for him, it's all about limiting hard contact. And the Twins make a ton of hard contact. So I think all the way around, it's a tough spot tonight for Oakland. I like Minnesota, as unfortunate as that is.
And you also like the over in that battle of Pennsylvania between the Phillies and the Pirates tonight. Why do you like the over at 10.5?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You've got Jake Arrieta, who we already know is pitching hurt. That came out maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. He's got some bone spurs in his elbow. He's had trouble sustaining his velocity over the course of his starts. And he's a pitch-to-contact guy. And the Pirates have, you know, they've had their fair share of problems on the pitching side. But offensively, they've been pretty good here of late. The concerning thing for the Pirates is that they're sending out Jordan Lyles here tonight. Lyles just really struggling since coming off the injured list on June 29th. 17 runs allowed in 10 and two-thirds. Didn't make it out of the first inning last time out. And also, you know, PNC Park has been very, very good for pitchers, really since it opened. But this year, left-handed batters with a 534 slugging percentage at PNC Park this season, both of these guys with some platoon splits, they struggle against left-handed batters. So it's a big number tonight going over the 10.5. But, you know, games with a total of 10 or higher this year, 163 overs, 99 unders, 16 pushes. It's been the year of offense, and when offense is expected, it has happened so far this year in Major League Baseball.
Wow. That's an overabundance of overs. That's pretty incredible. Wow. All right. Well, before we let you go, my friend, I want to give you an opportunity to explain your tweet from earlier today about this potential rumored Trevor Bauer deal to the Padres. Again, just a rumor at this point, but there could be some pretty interesting return coming back, at least amongst the names that we are being told are being discussed in the deal.
Yeah, this is one of those things, you know, I mean, you're going to have a lot of stuff, so to speak, thrown at the wall here over the next couple of weeks, and we'll see what actually sticks. I know there's been some questions about this report, you know, because I guess John Morosi, who reported it, you know, sometimes there are kind of some questions about the validity of some of the rumors that he reports. But look, it makes perfect sense that the Padres and the Indians match up. First of all, they've traded in the past, so they know each other. They're familiar with each other's systems. I think there's a familiarity factor when you talk about trading with a team that you've previously traded with. And again, these two teams just match up so, so well, with the Padres having a phenomenal minor league system, lots of young position player talent at the big league level. One of the guys who's not at the big league level yet, although he probably should be based on the numbers, is second baseman Luis Urias. And when you talk about the Indians, and you talk about organizational needs for them, Mercado seems like a player. Bowers has some upside. Daniel Johnson is hitting very well in AAA. Outfield's not the biggest area of need now. It's second base. And that's the position that Urias plays, walks a lot, plays solid defense, puts the bat on the ball. Pretty good all-around prospect, and wouldn't be a bad pickup for the Indians if they are inclined to move Trevor Bauer here this month.
Going to be interesting to see if they do move him over the next week and a half. It's a very exciting time of the year right around the trading deadline, no doubt about it. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by here today, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, boys. Stay cool out there.
Hey, we will give it a shot, no doubt about it. It is a scorcher out there today. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We are almost out of time in hour number one. We've got 2.5 more hours to go. Coming up here in a few minutes, we've got Your Money Now, and then we've got Matt Douglas with the local news before we talk Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus at 4:10, and we're also giving away a couple of Indians tickets to the August 25th game against the Kansas City Royals, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. How do you win those tickets? Well, tune in right around 4:10. We start speaking with Rosie and listen for your cue to call. Bulls.